The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. I have here a key. It's an old key. They don't make them like this anymore, but this is the key to my rooms here in the rectory at St. Mary. Now, I never use it, never lock my rooms, because I'm in a bigger building where the doors are locked. Now, I bring this key as an example of my homily, or maybe the key to my homily. As well, it represents the key to all of the world's problems, to all the stuff that's going on, to the protests, the violence, the isms of all kinds that we see in the world. And that key, you probably know, is the key of David. It's Jesus Christ. He is the key. At the beginning of the COVID crisis, there was a young man from India who said this. He said, "It is a privilege to socially distant oneself." Social distancing was a privilege. Interesting, privilege. He went on to say, "In my country, we can't do that. We may have three generations living in a single room. In our cities, we're packed together. You in the West, you've got all these rooms in your home. You can go to any room you want. You've got places to go where you can socially distance yourself from one another. It's a privilege," he said. And so can we call that Westernism a bad thing because we don't think of other people who need to do the same thing but don't have the same resources? One of the big topics, obviously, is racism today, but I want to suggest that there are basically two types of privileges under which all isms fall. All types of privileges fall. Two types of privilege. The first one is the privilege of exclusion. The second is the privilege of service. Privilege of exclusion, the privilege of service. Now, we are called as Christians to serve one another. So we're supposed to be taking that privilege of service and living it each day. But do we really think about how we live the privilege of exclusion each day? When you think of how we Americans have so much, we have our homes, we have maybe a cottage somewhere, we go on vacations, we go on cruises. That's a privilege, and unfortunately, it's also most of the time a privilege of exclusion. Let me explain. St. John Chrysostom, one of the great patriarchs of Constantinople, said that if we have more than what we need, or put it this way, if we have two of something, one of those things belongs to the poor. Dorothy Day said that. She said, if you have two winter coats in your closet, one of them belongs to the poor, period. How many of us have many coats, many winter coats? And she didn't say, well, you can have one winter coat for dress-up occasions, one for daily, no. If we have two, one belongs to the poor. Do we use our privilege of exclusion to say, well, I can afford two coats or more, and therefore they're mine? And what about our homes? How many of us have houses where we have empty bedrooms? We're not using them. What would Dorothy Day say? She would say, well, if you've got extra bedrooms, they belong to the poor. When did we take in a homeless veteran? When did we take in a homeless pregnant woman? When did we take in a refugee or a migrant worker? But according to John Chrysostom and Dorothy Day, those rooms belong not to us, but to someone else who needs them. So are we practicing the privilege of exclusion because we say, this is mine, or I can't have someone else live with me, I don't know who they are or what they might do? That's all part of the privilege of exclusion, because we're walling off things in our lives so that we don't have to be out there and have our comfortable, convenient routines interrupted in any which way. But how else are we going to get away from the isms that we face? How are we going to defeat racism or any kind of ism if we keep locking away ourselves, locking away our minds, our hearts, what we own, our homes? So we're called as Christians, obviously, to practice the privilege of service. And that's exactly what Jesus did. If we look at him, he didn't own a home, he didn't have a condo, he didn't go on cruises, he didn't have a suitcase with extra clothes. Do we just look at him as sort of this ideal that we can't possibly follow? Or do we take literally the fact that, yeah, he said we can follow him, and we can. We could be like the rich young man who says, Lord, what must I do? And instead of saying, I'm not going to sell everything, we do sell everything and give to the poor and then follow Christ. That's an option. We can do it. But we're much more comfortable in that privilege of exclusion, where we can talk a lot about issues, we can go to meetings and organizing committees, but when it comes to me personally opening up my life so that I can truly serve others, we wall that off. We live in our own bubbles, our own walled communities. Now, what does this have to do with the Holy Trinity? Well, the Holy Trinity practices the privilege of service, not the privilege of exclusion. The Father gave everything to the Son. The Son gives everything to the Spirit, who gives us everything. He doesn't hold anything back. Jesus said, the Father has given me everything, and I want to give it to you. And that's what Jesus did in his privilege of service. And it is a privilege to serve. So we're called to be like Jesus, to recognize that we're not called to exclude, and we're called to challenge our exclusions. And incidentally, the privilege of exclusion and the privilege of serving cuts across all lines, political lines, social lines, racial lines, economic lines. Anybody can practice the privilege of exclusion. But we're called to practice the privilege of service. Service even unto death. There's a wonderful video on YouTube. You can look it up. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. The Gospel Comes with a House Key. It's a story of a woman who underwent a conversion simply because she was invited into a couple's home. He was a minister, and they sat down with her and ate with her. Didn't talk about religion, just got to know her. Then she invited them into her home, and vice versa, back and forth, back and forth. And the point of the story is hospitality. She says at the end, hospitality is ground zero when it comes to the gospel. Hospitality. Are we hospitable? Do we practice the privilege of service? Do we go out looking for strangers and make them friends and have them come into our homes? Come eat with me. I'd like to get to know you better. And then vice versa, back and forth. Or are we very comfortable in that privilege of exclusion so I can live in my nice community, my nice area of the city or the suburbs, so that I can kind of hold on to what I want to hold on to, what I want to protect? That's not what the Trinity does. We wouldn't be here today if the Trinity practiced the privilege of exclusion, but they don't. They practice the privilege of service, and they're constantly serving us. The Father lets go of his love for the Son so the Son could become a human being. The Son let go of his life so that he could die and rise again to save us. Can we say the same? Or do we keep our minds locked up, our hearts locked up, our possessions locked up, our homes locked up, everything locked up because we're afraid that someone will come along and take it? If we live in that kind of fear, then we're practicing the privilege of exclusion. And the only way to move away from that and to get rid of all the isms that we face in this world is to practice the privilege of service. Doesn't mean it's easy, doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable, but that's where we Christians are called to practice, not in words alone, but in actions, to go forth and proclaim the gospel no matter what the cost is. So again, we're talking about the key to everything. It's Jesus Christ, part of the Trinity. The Trinity gives us everything. We, in turn, are called to give everything. The rich young man didn't. He couldn't let go of his privilege of exclusion, of his wealth. But we can, because we have Jesus who has shown us the way. There's the challenge in the Gospels that we read every day, every Sunday. It's the challenge of today's feast of the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. It's a challenge every day to say, I can't do that for whatever reason, and to do it, to be hospitable, to hand out keys. Give a key to a stranger that we get to know and say, hey, come on over anytime you want. Could we do that? Would we do that? Would we even want to do that? And yet, we're called to do that, to practice that privilege of service without counting the cost, to be like Dorothy Day, John Chrysostom, all the saints who have gone before us, who did not cling to anything but the love of God, and they gave that away freely because they knew it was Jesus Christ who was the way, the truth, and the life. He was the key to their happiness, and they didn't need to find it in anything or even in any other person. So here's our challenge for today, and I invite you as you go forth during the week to ask yourselves, what privilege do you practice easily? Which privilege comes more difficultly? Is it the privilege of exclusion that we take for granted that we practice, and we have good reasons for it or good excuses for it? Do we want to practice the privilege of service, the privilege of giving to others freely, without fear, fully and completely, giving the key to others, to our hearts, to our minds, to our possessions, to our very lives? Jesus says we can, but it's up to us to do it, to say, yes, I can do it, to do it whether anybody else joins us, but to go forth and live that wonderful privilege that all of us Christians have been baptized into, the privilege of service to one another. What greater way can we honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are the model of this privilege of service, than by signing ourselves up for it as well and living it every single day? Our Eucharist tells us we can do it, and it's up to us to say yes each and every day.